I need to get myself in the right mindset. Ed, you know how I am.
Yeah.
To put on the announcer voice, the fancy voice.
Yeah. I don't have one of those.
You have one of those that lives in each one of us.
No, mine's just me, but gayer.
Can you give me what your best announcer voice would be, Ed?
What kind of announcer voice do you want?
I want you to be like the like you'd hear over an intercom in an arena.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time that we got into some karaoke madness.
And welcome back to The Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly, a karaoke podcast that is the direct result of when boredom meets fandom. I'm your incredibly tall, just slightly sexy host, Adam Wainwright.
And I am your decidedly average-sized and decidedly averagely sexy co-host, Ed Kennard.
There is no disputing either one of those facts, Ed. You are just the right amount. I would say the right amount of height and the right amount of sexy, honestly.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. So, first off, how have you been? I think we both have some exciting news that happened in our lives the past couple of weeks.
Yes, indeed, Adam. I got my first dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. So I feel like I am a few weeks away from being ready to attend a karaoke speakeasy at some horrible Western Pennsylvania town in the near future.
That's actually really exciting news. I went back and visited Pennsylvania last week and was able to actually get vaccinated myself, or at least the first shot of the Pfizer vaccine. So we're twinsies.
Hooray, we have the same germs flowing in our blood.
Oh, it's so,
again.
It's so cute and exciting, Ed. I'm so excited for us. I can't wait to dive back in, too. That's what I mean. Like, vaccination, I feel, is like the first step to being able to, you know, in my case, wandering into some bars in New York City and making new friends in Newark and New York City.
Yeah, I don't know that it's safe. Like, I will say that I am not a scientist. I am someone who works in sales. But I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't care. I know that's horrible to say, but it's been a year and I'm getting twitchy.
Yeah, we're both getting twitchy. And like I said, this is just the first step, you know, where we're getting vaccinated. And we're hoping everybody else is choosing to get vaccinated too, so we can get back to this. As everybody individual feels comfortable, I think it's the most important thing is as you feel comfortable, get back out there and do some karaoke. We're not, you know, I'm not setting a timeline for myself, but, you know, whenever the time feels right. And I get back into the groove of things and I can step up to the mic and drop some Johnny Cash on some unsuspecting fools. But I'm going to be ready to do it.
I do not know if I envy them or feel bad for them, but we'll find out.
It's always a blend of both, Ed. It's envy and just that feeling of pure. Yeah. Yeah. But when we do get back to the scenic bar in Western Pennsylvania, or we go to make friends in New York City or Newark, there's going to be one very important person in both of our lives when we rejoin it. And I think you know who I'm talking about, Ed. The most important person in our lives when we get back to it will be...
I believe you're looking for the karaoke host, Adam.
Oh, yeah, Ed. I'm looking for the karaoke host, or the KJ.
Let me actually just say this, that there is a part of me that legitimately hates the term KJ.
Ooh, let's explore this for a moment. Why do you hate the term KJ?
So, Adam, when somebody cues up a song for you to sing at karaoke, do they know what they're getting? Or are they cueing up a disc or a digital file and you are the thing that rides on top of that? Do they know what they're getting coming out of your mouth? I don't think they do. They're really only jockeying the disc or the MP4 file, correct?
To a certain extent, yeah. I think it goes a little bit of both ways. And I get what you're saying, that they don't know what they're going to get when a person opens their mouth, what they're going to do, how they're going to respond, the whole nine yards. But they're still choosing to cue up that track. I'm saying that, would you rather have on a party night, would you rather have somebody that can't sing an absolute lick but committing wholeheartedly to She Bangs? Or would you rather have somebody that can sing but really sing Desperado by the Eagles?
Well, I am clearly somebody who would commit to She Bangs and not singing Desperado well. So I'm going to go with the former.
That's exactly it, though. But when they, so when the karaoke, like the KJ, were to fire that up, though, they make the choice to put She Bangs with the person who can't sing over Desperado with the person that can't sing. And those are decisions that they make over the course of an evening. So I see what you're saying, yeah. But I think there's some value to KJ.
I understand that I am a rarity in the karaoke fandom field, but I feel much more comfortable saying karaoke DJ than I do saying KJ.
I can respect that. So what is the karaoke DJ, Ed? Can you just give us the brief overview of what role this person plays in your karaoke experience?
In the most basic way, they are the person who guides the night, whether that means being the shepherd of the rotation and making sure that everybody who puts in a song gets to sing their song, or in the ideal situation, you know, they really guide the night. They adjust vocals depending on who is singing. They get the crowd interacting, and ideally, because let's face it, no bar has karaoke without a reason for the bar to benefit, they're the one who is helping guide the till of that bar. So you and I might have very strong opinions about what makes a good host. At the end of the day, a successful karaoke host is decided by how successful the bar itself thinks they are.
100% agree, Ed. A good karaoke host will drive people into the bar. They'll keep them at the bar. They'll keep them entertained, and they'll keep them drinking.
I mean, there is a reason that a lot of bars will have karaoke on a midweek night versus a weekend.
That is true. It's rare to find karaoke on the weekend because people are going to go to the bar anyway on the weekend. But getting somebody to come to the bar on a Tuesday night is sometimes a challenge for these bars. So that's why the karaoke jockey is there, to help the bar out. And on top of all these other responsibilities that are all part of it. But I think there's a couple things that make a good karaoke DJ. Because I think, as you put it, Ed, like all karaoke jocking at the end of the day is what, pulling a file up on a computer and pressing a button, right?
In some cases, now that we are in the 21st century, yes. I mean, previously it was something different. It was, queuing up a CD, or if you're my age, queuing up a Laserdisc. Or if you're older than me, you know, putting an 8-track or a cassette in and handing somebody a lyric sheet.
Those would have been the days, man. That would have been something else to experience that. I don't think, I wish somebody would bring that back almost as like a retro karaoke night. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I think that exists in some places. And if you really searched out and you really want to get like into the deep nerdy shit of karaoke, look up Pioneer karaoke videos from the Pioneer Laserdisc days, because there was some actual artistry to some of those awful, awful karaoke backing videos.
Oh, those things are still very prevalent in certain parts of the world. 100%. Private karaoke rooms a lot of times will have those videos associated with them, which is one of the benefits of going to a private karaoke room. But the karaoke jockey. I'll give you what I think makes a good karaoke jockey, Ed, and you can tell me why I am wrong. I think the karaoke jockey really is the person that you said drives people to the bar. And I think what makes a good karaoke jockey is the ability to manage a crowd more than anything. And I think there's a lot of things that go into managing a crowd, but you know, maintaining a good rotation is part of it. Being able to handle the drunk guy that walks up to him and wants to sing 14 million times. Just handling all kinds of people when they're drunk, still being amiable and moving the night along. But I really think what it comes down to is that karaoke, whether it's captivating them through entertainment or just being stern enough to say no, just really controlling the crowd and the atmosphere for the evening, I think is what makes a really good karaoke jockey.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you. So I have been involved in some karaoke forums that has a lot of debates about like what makes a good host. And one of the things that it often falls back on is the quality of the sound system, whether the library is legal or not, because let's face it, a lot of karaoke hosts are pirates. I'll admit this, as a karaoke singer, I do not care how the music was acquired. In the grand scheme of things, I don't really care how great the equipment is. My big concern is, are you adjusting on the fly for whatever is happening, whether it is somebody whose vocal range is more like you or mine, you know, a lower tone, or if, you know, if they just leave like one set volume. I mean, there are some people who sing louder into the mic. There's some people who sing more quietly. If they're adjusting for that on the fly, if they're adjusting their background music on the fly, because not every song has the same, you know, backing volume, for lack of a better term, but also like emceeing the whole night, like making sure that the night itself is fun. Does not matter, in my opinion, if it's legal, if they have, you know, fantastic Shure mics that they spend a lot of money on, or if they got like the $50 Radio Shack special. It's all kind of the same to me, as long as the night is a good time.
Yeah, it has to be a good time. And something that I want to put out there to everybody about, you know, the KJ is that 90% of the time, I'd say to 95% of the time, these are people that show up and they bring their own equipment. They show up with their own speakers, their own soundboard, their own microphone, their own televisions, their own software. They're the ones who put all this together. There are a couple places that have like permanent fixtures or booths for the karaoke jockey to go to. I mean, I've been to a couple of those places, but most of the time when you walk into a bar, if they have karaoke that night, that person showed up with a van and unloaded all that stuff themselves and loaded it back up. So they're really completely providing every aspect of your entertainment at the bar that evening, which is why they play such a vital role in what's going on over the course of the evening. Now, I do have a question for you, Ed. And we've talked about the broad range of things and stuff like that and controlling the night, okay? We agree that we think that's the most important thing for a karaoke jockey. But I need you to pick one of these three that go into controlling night, or not even controlling night, for your own personal enjoyment of the night. Which one is most important in a karaoke jockey? Is it the depth of their songbook, the quality of their sound system, or the personality of the host?
Without a question, it is the personality of the host. So I feel like, as somebody who does, you know, data analytics for a living, if you were to actually have an input of every karaoke song in every bar in the United States, it wouldn't be a bell curve. There would be a very high ratio of certain songs being sung over and over and over again. I mean, I know I can walk into a karaoke bar and hear Sweet Caroline, or, you know, sadly, Picture. I know what I'm going to get when I walk into a bar that has karaoke. The songs will, by and large, no matter where you are in the country, be the same. There will be some regional differences. There will be some differences based off the, you know, median age of the crowd. But the songbook depth, a good karaoke host can get by with 20,000 songs. You do not need a absolute, like, comprehensive catalog. Don't get me wrong, there are songs that I would love to sing, and there are very few hosts that have them. But a lot of the songs, if you sing them in your average bar, people are just going to scratch their heads and look away. Now, in terms of equipment, I mean, I need a lot of help to sound good. Like, I need a host who's going to mix things right, who's going to have decent microphones, who knows the right level of reverb, the right level of echo to make this sound good. And that's a hard task. But even if this doesn't sound good, the entire thing of a night, the entire enjoyment of a night is based entirely on how it's run. It's based on the crowd, it's based on the bar, but the only person who has a real solid control of that is the guy hosting it, or the girl hosting it, or the they/them hosting it.
Yes, but I will say, for my own personal enjoyment, because I've pushed it so many times, like I really, at this point, really enjoy a karaoke jockey that I think has a combination of a good songbook and also quality sound. Because I've been in places, I think we've both been in places, where the karaoke jockey has no idea what they're doing with the sound, so you sound like shit, or you can't hear yourself, and it started to bother me more than I think it initially did. And I don't know, like, I've sang so many different, I like singing Johnny Cash, but you can only sing Ring of Fire so many times. You can only sing Folsom Prison Blues so many times. And when you go to karaoke hundreds of times, sang Johnny Cash hundreds of times, like, you want something new, you know? You want to be able to sing I've Been Everywhere. You want to sing God's Gonna Cut You Down, you know? You want these gems that not everybody has, and just to expand your vocal range. And for me to have fun on some nights, like, I'm going to find a way to have fun. We have games and ways to have fun over the course of a karaoke evening. But I just appreciate when somebody goes a little, like, little deeper. I'm still looking for some Pete Rock and CL Smooth at karaoke. I'm looking for some Eric. I want some Eric B. and Rakim at karaoke.
Yeah, and I envy your ability to find that when you were in Japan. The thing I will say, though, let's limit it to the Johnny Cash that you just mentioned. Yes, a deeper songbook would be fantastic. I subscribed to a service that finally gave me a copy of, I've Been Everywhere. So much fun to sing. And people know that song. But by and large, if somebody has a wide songbook with lots of Johnny Cash songs, how much of a positive crowd reaction are you going to get singing the Ballad of Ira Hayes?
Oh, it's good. I've done that before. It's positive.
But do they like it because you're singing it well, or do they have a connection to that song in general?
I mean, it's because I'm singing it well, Ed. I mean, who has a connection? Like, there are very, very few people that have a direct connection to the Ballad of Ira Hayes.
Yeah. I mean, I do a fantastic Tom Waits, and I am lucky if one person in a bar of 50 knows what I'm doing, if they have it available.
But they have to be able to hear your voice and know it's Tom Waits. Like, I don't know much Tom Waits, but I know Tom Waits' voice, that's damn sure. I think the only Tom Waits song that I know is Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minnesota?
Minneapolis.
Damn, I was so close.
You were so close. The only karaoke song that I have sang that was a Tom Waits song in a bar was The Piano Has Been Drinking, which I assume at some point we will play when we don't have something else to play in a karaoke round. But again, even on the nights where I find a song like that, no one there gives a shit what that song is. No one understands that I'm singing the way that I'm singing on purpose. Like, oh, that guy drinks nothing but whiskey, smokes a carton of cigarettes a day, and might gargle razor blades. I don't know. There's something wrong with him.
This is true. But like I said, I think those are all important elements of what we're looking at by the karaoke jockey. And they have so many things in the balance over the course of an evening. I think just about anybody that's probably going to be listening to this can relate to dealing with a drunk friend. You know, there's a drunk friend you don't like, that you end up out with sometimes, that you don't want to deal with, but you have to deal with them and make sure they get home okay and they don't make a fool of themselves. Karaoke jockeys deal with this on a nightly basis when they're in places to serve alcohol. They deal with 10 of your drunk friends at the same time. And then you still need to make sure that everybody has a positive experience when they leave the bar for their sake and their brand, and also for the bar's sake. And that's such a difficult task to manage.
Yeah, wrangling drunks is no fun. Again, I have mentioned before that I have filled in as a host on occasion. And that is the thing that I think is the hardest part of making a good night, because Adam, I mean, I'm sure there's been a time where you've tried to reason with somebody who was drunk off their gourd. It's not an easy task.
I will mention this. I was supporting the KJ, because once you go to enough karaoke and you get to know enough karaoke jockeys, you recognize what they go through and what they're dealing with. I was in the Outer Banks at some point. I went to a bar in the Outer Banks, and I got established myself there. You know, I made my mark. I sang Shaggy. You know, doing both parts of Shaggy, Angel, which Ed and I can both kind of handle. It's one of the songs I'll pick to make my mark. I ended up helping the karaoke jockey out by joining a wedding party I wasn't a part of, because they wanted me to help them sing rap songs, and stopping a fight from happening on stage and making sure the microphones got back and pulling the best man outside and having a long conversation with him with his arms slung around my shoulder. It was very odd, but this is things that happen. They have to happen, like, much more than even we know, because we went to normal spots where I think back in our heyday, like, people knew not to fuck with the karaoke jockey because Ed and Adam are sitting right there, and they'll solve that problem very quickly.
Yeah, I have that reputation of saving karaoke in that specific way. But yeah, like, wrangling the drunk, wrangling the angry person, wrangling the person who wants to sing the saddest song that has ever existed on a night where people just want to dance. I mean, I feel like that is the biggest talent of a good karaoke host. The second biggest talent, I would say, is making sure everyone sounds as good as they can. I do not expect someone to make me sound good. I do hope for somebody who makes me sound my best. And what I mean by that is, I mean, Adam, you and I both have deeper singing voices, if not the deepest singing, speaking voices. And a lot of karaoke hosts, you know, mix for somebody who is, you know, a tenor, which neither of us can do without sounding like a hog that is being slaughtered.
Yeah, neither of us can. Tenors, yeah. Yeah, my range has improved too, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I might pull off some low tenor stuff on a good day, but I'm never full. Like, I can never fall into that full tenor range.
Yeah, I will say you are the better singer, but I am the singer with the better range. And even that said, sometimes I sound like a crime is being committed if I'm trying to hit a higher note.
Yeah, but the karaoke jockey can help that too, because they are the person that's, if they're good at what they do, they're making those adjustments for every singer and adjusting the sound while balancing the rotation and people coming up to them and talking to them and wrangling drunks and making sure their microphones aren't being jobbed. There's a lot of things that go into it. And I just honestly think that not a lot of people recognize that over the course of an evening. But Ed, I found an article. And this article is entitled, What It Takes to Be a Great Karaoke Jockey. It has 6 points listed in this article, or 5 points. And we're not going to dive into what it says ultimately, but I want to bring these 5 points up here, and I want to hear your opinion. Do you think this is essential? Do you think it's not essential? Or do you think it's close to what they should be saying? So we're going to bring this up. What it has, number one, to be a great KJ, a good karaoke jockey is a customer service expert and a performer in one package.
Yeah, I believe that's completely accurate. Somebody who is trying to guide a night, trying to host a night, they are responsible for the mood, the tenor, really everything. So yes, it is a customer service slash sales position.
It is, and the performer aspect is also important because they are the person that sets the tone when they're bringing people up, putting people on deck, when they do the sound check at the beginning of the night. Most karaoke jockeys can sing. Some of them aren't the best singers, but most of them are really talented singers, and they set the tone for getting people up there and getting them moving.
And even if they're not a great singer, you don't have to be a great singer to be a great performer. One of the favorite things I've ever seen, and this is well before that guy showed up on America's Got Talent, is there was a bar in Western Pennsylvania where the host would periodically be like, I've been practicing the song for a long time. I'm going to give it a shot right now. Please bear with me. It's harder than what I'm used to. I'm going to do my best. And then he would do tequila. We're literally the only word to sing is tequila.
Dun, 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 dun.
But he sold the lead up to it. He sold the performance of it. It made things fun. And also, like, I like a host who doesn't sing the best. You know why? Because it makes me feel more confident about getting on a mic.
So, okay, we agree on number one. We say for sure that a good karaoke jock is a customer service expert and performer in one package. Number two, Ed, a good karaoke jockey knows the rules of karaoke.
Ooh, that's a tough one because the rules of karaoke can widely differ. I mean, karaoke is a national phenomenon. It's an international phenomenon, but there are rules that go more in line with local mores and standards than what, you know, might be ubiquitous and, you know, overarching universal. The rules will depend on where you are, what bar you're in, and who your clients are. So the karaoke rules, I mean, again, you've traveled doing this, I've traveled doing this. The rules change based on where you are. So I don't believe there's a universal set of rules that, you know, really define what it should be.
I don't think there's a universal set of rules. I do think you started talking about locally. I think it's important for a karaoke jockey to understand where they are. Like if they're going to travel from Western Pennsylvania to the inner, like the sticks of Western Pennsylvania to the city, there's going to be a different set of rules to play by and a different way to approach it. And I think I do agree with the fact that maybe not the universal rules of karaoke, but just understanding your place and your environment. Do you feel what I'm saying there?
Yeah, you've got to be ready to fit in where you are. It's almost being a chameleon, but like a very pointed chameleon. You're not trying to blend into just anything. You're trying to blend into not only the bar you're at, not only the geographic location you are, but things like the median age in the bar, things like, you know, what the bar is offering, like a karaoke host running a karaoke night in a bar that only serves beer and wine they're running a fundamental different show than somebody who's like running a karaoke experience in a bar that has a full range of cocktails, mixers, shots, beers, etc. The clientele is different. The bar is different. The experience is different.
Number three, Ed, we're here. A good karaoke jockey hypes up the audience.
Yes, I mean, the crowd is a big part of karaoke. Again, you, by and large, I will say, are a better singer than I am. I still like to hear applause when I get done. So the few times that I have actually hosted karaoke myself is like, hey guys, clap. Clap either because it was good or clap because it's over, but one way or another, you're gonna clap. Nobody wants to get on stage and leave it in pure silence. Amping the crowd, you know, it's not the singer's responsibility. The singer is the patron in that sense. It is the host's job to make sure that that environment is fostering, nurturing, caring, and exciting.
Do you think hype's up the right word though? I think hyped up, and I think like they're playing jock jams and they need to like pump up the jam, you know, like stuff like that. Like, I don't know if they have to get them hyped up. I think they need to create the atmosphere for people to have a good time. But I don't know if this is their responsibility to like pump up the crowd and get them riled up and started. I don't know if I've ever known a karaoke jockey that's done that specific thing.
In your experience, how many hosts have finished with "let's give it up for blank, next up is blank, singing blank"? I mean, there's always something encouraging the crowd to show their appreciation, again, either for it being a good performance or being a performance that has concluded.
I think, but I understand that, but I guess I'm just disagreeing with the word hyped is where I'm caught up. I think what they're doing there is engaging and supporting and creating a nurturing, supportive environment so people feel comfortable getting up and singing. They know that there's not going to be silence at the end of their performance. But I don't know if that's hyped up the crowd. I get hyped up the crowd as a t-shirt cannon at a hockey game. That's hyping up the crowd, is shooting t-shirts into the crowd. And I don't think that. I think it's more complicated what karaoke jockeys do.
You know, I'll give you that. It's more complicated than just hyping up the crowd. But there should be some level of direction and some level of conducting that experience.
Yeah, 100%. Let's move on to number four. A good karaoke jockey has the right equipment and knows how to use it.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. Again, going back to like whether it's mixing for different voices, mixing for different setups, I mean, there's nothing more annoying as a singer than having a setup where you can't move around at all and there's going to be a big feedback squeal because either the monitor is not set right, the audience facing speakers are not set right. Knowing how your equipment works is crucial and tantamount to a good experience.
Yeah, they have to have the right equipment, and we already touched on adjusting the sound for the singer, and I think that's all part of the karaoke. So we're not going to send it. We agree. Good karaoke jockey has the right equipment and knows how to use it. Number five, and this is our last point in this article. A good karaoke jockey remains calm in all situations.
Yes. And I say that yes with a pause. In my ideal situation, the karaoke host has not only washed Roadhouse, not only washed it like 10 times, but has embraced pretty much everything that Dalton in that movie says. Be nice. Be nice until you shouldn't be nice. It's, you get more flies with honey than vinegar, I guess, is the cliche and the truism. But you can make a lot of things happen just by how you react to any situation.
I agree. I think that a karaoke jockey should remain calm in all situations and let somebody else get upset for them. Because if they're a karaoke jockey that's established and they've been around and go back to the same bars that they have a routine that they go to, they have allies that show up every week. They have friends that are going to be in attendance. They have people at the bar that are going to look out for them. So if there's somebody that, you know, is getting a little rowdy with them or something along those lines, somebody's going to step into that situation. That's not the karaoke jockey's job, is to respond to the antagonist in the group. It's their job to nurture the environment and let somebody else step in for them. But Ed, those were our five things on the list. I think this is a pretty solid list altogether as far as what it takes to be a great karaoke jockey.
Yeah, the list is solid. I mean, there are other things, and not all of them are within the karaoke host's control. You know, you're not necessarily going to get a fun, lively crowd at every bar you go to. You're not going to get the experience based off of just what you're doing as a host. I mean, the bar itself, the town, the patrons, all of that does play in. In a sense, you know, the KJ is a conductor. You know, they're making the symphony of the night happen. And a talented host can make that whole night sing. A untalented host will let it happen.
And that was so poetic that I'm going to end our topic on the KJ right there. I think, I don't know if you intentionally did it or not, but you hit the nail right on the head. We're very excited to welcome a very special karaoke expert to the show today. He has been a KJ for an astounding 15 years. He was unfortunate enough to meet Ed and I at the height of our karaoke insanity and actively fed our addiction. He's joining us from Key West, Florida. Please welcome to the show the owner of Crisp Entertainment, Chris Price. Chris, how are you doing today?
Wow, I am absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Adam. Thanks for having me here. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Chris.
I haven't spoken to you guys in, I speak to Ed every now and then, but Adam, it's been forever.
Yeah, I think forever is a fair assessment. I honestly can't remember the last time we would have spoke. Probably, like, I bumped into you. Wait, you know what? I bet it was in Indiana, PA. Was it like a whiskey place or something like that? Is there, or in Homer City? Is there like whiskey place there?
Did we see each other at Disobedient Spirits?
Yes.
You came to karaoke. You came to the first karaoke we had at Disobedient Spirits. That's right. Ed drug you out.
Yes. I think I sang, and I'm telling you, I'm not going from Dreamgirls that night, yes. If I remember correctly.
You did.
Yes. Yes, you did. Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a little while. How you been? I just learned you moved to Key West. How's everything going for you?
Pretty great. Pretty great. Just moved down to Key West to further the entertainment business down here. I love karaoke, but I also love performing live. And I have a ton of opportunities to actually like get out and play down here versus Pennsylvania, where it's not year round. So that's pretty much what I'm doing nowadays.
That's absolutely true. It's tough to do it year round in Pennsylvania. The weather's not in the crowd sometimes. Yeah, I got you. So we really do appreciate you being part of the show today. We brought you on because we consider you an expert at being a karaoke jockey. Would you agree with the statement?
I guess after as long as I've done it and as many years, I don't know if I would call myself an expert, but I feel like I have enough experience under my belt that I've seen so many situations that I can at least answer questions.
Okay, great. Ed, you want to kick us off? What questions do you have for our expert, Chris?
Question number one, why?
Why?
Why did you get into karaoke? Like, what about it pulled you in?
You know, I don't know if I've ever talked to you guys about this. Like, I was always a performer at singing. Singing was my thing. And I never played an instrument that lent itself to being able to sing. So I was always in choir and chorus and all kinds of stuff through school and in musicals. And, you know, I didn't play guitar well enough then at all to be able to play along and sing. My main instrument in band was the flute, the trombone, and the drums. How are you going to play and sing to those? I'm not an avant-garde performer. So I just kind of, one of my friends from college had a karaoke set up and he was testing it out, and I just stuck to it. And I was like, wow, I want to do this. I love karaoke. And then I was like, but I also like running things. So I was like, I like karaoke and I like having fun, but I'm not a center of attention party kind of guy. I love being behind the scenes. And so it melded so nicely.
Excellent. Yeah, that's cool. Do you remember the first song you sang when you started getting into karaoke, or what was your go-to when you first started?
Wow. What was my first song?
Or even if it's not the first song, what was the, like, when you got started in these college days, what was the song you would pick up and sing that would just impress your friends or you would go to at a party?
I think some of my first songs were, I think the first song that I felt really good at was Mr. Brightside.
Okay.
The Killers. I'm trying to remember back to our Coney days.
There is obviously a certain song that I very much associate with you.
I'm sure. Yes. No. Yeah, no, I think the big song that everyone remembers me from is Mika and Grace Kelly.
So you got to start at karaoke. You like to be in control of things. You like performing, but center. So that's how I got started as a karaoke jockey. And you've been doing that for, what, 15 years now or so?
You know, I think 15 years. Obviously, it's a little foggy. I think officially maybe it isn't 15 years since I'm 35 now, 21. So I guess 14-ish since officially bars and being out and about. But yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. Gigging almost every single week, pretty solid.
So it's fair to say then over the course of your time being a karaoke jockey that you've probably thousands and thousands of singers you've experienced.
Yeah, well, I mean, Indiana, Pennsylvania is kind of small. and as you guys laid out last time, there are very, very enthusiastic karaoke goers. So you see a lot of the same people over the years. I would say that I have seen easily tens of thousands of individual rotations and singers singing different songs. But yeah, overall number of singers, probably maybe in the thousands at best.
Well, I mean, the thousands at best. I mean,
Still, you know, only about 1,000 different people, you know.
With thousands of singers, there must be some things that bother you then, right? So what are some things that bother you as a karaoke jockey that are pet peeves that you have with certain singers?
We always, I mean, from the beginning, when we went to karaoke, we always did the no shame karaoke thing. And I definitely just held on to that. And we started doing Sing Your Heart Out when I started DJing more often. And I think that's, you know, the pet peeves kind of go away because I just like seeing people go crazy. That being said, technical things like the cupping microphones, you're not, you know, you are not Slim Shady. You're not Eminem. You're not MGK. You're not Metallica. You can't cup the microphone. Why? Because their microphones aren't on when they're singing in the music video. It's just not how microphones work. I think cupping the microphone is my biggest pet peeve, and I'm so happy that the mic drop fad died real fast.
I would like to stress to everyone listening to this that if you are going to a good karaoke show who has good equipment and good sound and they're adjusting things on the fly, that their mics are not cheap, and if you drop them on the ground, it does not matter how good of a performance you did, that's a really expensive drop.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. I think it's mic drops. I've luckily only seen in my years, I've only had about, I want to say 4 or 5 mic drops. And you know, as you do so many shows, you get to know who's the people, you get to know the crowds, and you like, you can anticipate when people are going to pull that, like, I'm going to either purposefully drop a microphone, or I am just absolutely too drunk to hand this off to my friend during Sweet Caroline, and I'm going to drop the microphone. So, you know, for me, we did a lot of, I have very professional microphones, I have very expensive microphones, and then when the crowd shifts, you'll notice sometimes during my shows, I'll play just a regular song, and all of a sudden the microphones change. And all of a sudden I have the Guitar Center 2 for $50 wireless microphone sitting on the mic stand. And no one knows why.
In all fairness, at that point of the night, I feel like people don't know the difference.
They don't. At that point, you know, you're talking 45 minutes before closing time.
I would like to ask you a specific question because I have, as you know, been dragged into hosting karaoke myself. Never as a business entity, but just because somebody's like, can you cover for me? And I'm like, I can figure it out.
I mean, I've been that person. Yeah. I forced you.
I was going to leave that out, but you are one of the ones who did that to me.
That was me.
My pet peeve always when I've had to host karaoke is feeling like a border collie. And what I mean by that is nipping at the heels of the people who are too drunk to follow directions. How do you handle situations like that? Like, you're the showrunner,
right?
And you're dealing with basically hyperactive drunk people.
Yeah, it's really hard because you have to be happy, because anytime that you get angry at somebody, they, like, being drunk, being around drunk people, that anger magnifies so quickly. So you have to do everything in, like, and you know, Ed, you're customer service. Adam, you did communications forever with the Navy. You know how you just have to, like, wrangle people in such a nice herding cats upbeat kindergartner way. You treat them like they're third graders. You know, that's really it. Like, you're just a third grade teacher being super nice. And you're like, hey, everybody, here's what we're going to have to do. Hey, now that's not cool. Like, you know, you apply to their base human instincts of like just wanting to be cool and nice and have fun for everybody. And a lot of it is the secret of having a solid rotation, knowing who's coming up next, and having those people ready to go on deck so that the super crazy person who doesn't want to leave the microphone go is not handing it back to the mean karaoke DJ. They're handing it off to the next person who's trying to have fun. And that's the fastest way to keep people going, at least. That's the hardest thing, I think, is to just get mics up away from people.
Speaking of rotations, what is your ideal rotation? Like, how do you run a rotation that, in your idea, makes it fair?
Oh, wow. This is a debate that I have seen hotly, hotly debated over the years. I've narrowed it down to about two schools of rotations, where there's a solid rotation that is a 100%, you sign up, this rotation happens when you go, when a new person comes on, they get added to the bottom of the rotation and you keep going. And then there's the fluid dynamic, go with the flow of the music. The DJ is trying to still be a DJ while being a karaoke disc jockey, and you're mixing the music and the singers and all this stuff. Yeah, I think the best way to do it is a solid rotation in where you have a sign up list. Maybe you don't publish that list. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you publish that list for the people who just need to visually see it. And that does quell weird drunk questions. But I like the solid rotation. Everybody signs up in an order. They're always going to get called on whether they have a song in or not. And then as new people come, they get bumped to the bottom of the rotation. That does not mean that, like, it breaks down a little bit. And in my mind, the breakdown point is when you're at singer number 13 of 15 and five more people add on. It gets hard there. That's when it's like, oh, now you have to wait five. Like, singer number one thought he was coming up in three people, and now they're coming up in five or eight people. It only breaks down at the bottom of the list, but otherwise it's fair. Everyone knows what's going on. Once you establish that kind of rotation, and you go to a bar a few times, people get it, and people learn to just kind of live with that. Like, it's just about being fair. It's about letting people know that that's how it works, and just treating everyone as equally as possible, because that singer who's not good is just as important as the singer who maybe auditioned on American Idol last year. You know, like, everybody gets their turn. Everyone's always going to get called on. I don't care if you gave me 75 slips when the night started. If we get through all of them because the rotation was that short, cool. If we don't, I just hope you realize that that's what we did. And I'm going to ask you, hey, of the 75 songs I put in for you, which one do you want to do right now? Because you're probably only going to get three more, two more, who knows?
That sounds like the best way to do it to me. My follow-up question on that would be, I understand that the karaoke jockey will, the first song of the night is normally karaoke jockey just because they're doing the sound check. So the microphones and everybody else sounds good the rest of the night. Do you think the karaoke jockey should continue to stay in the rotation? Do you think that's vital for keeping the atmosphere where they want it to be over the course of the evening? Or do you think after the initial sound check, they shouldn't jump in unless they think there's a problem with the sound or they're transitioning to new mics as the night goes on? The new mics.
I think later in the night, you don't need a new mic sound check. You're past that point. But I personally am a karaoke jockey that will stay in the rotation for at least a little bit. When you start out a night and there are three or four singers, it's hard to keep the energy going. But I usually pop out of the rotation once I get up to about 8, 9, 10 singers. That's my personal rule, is like, if people want me to, like, if I am part of the fun and people want me to stay in, and you learn this as you go to different bars. In some bars, I'll sing all night long because that's just what people want me to do. In other bars, I don't. I sing one or two times, get the rotation established, and I'm out. I don't want to take up... My whole thought is I do this 3-4 nights a week. I can sing as many songs as I want. I have 300,000 karaoke songs on my computer that I could just sit down and sing whenever I feel like. It's fine. These folks who came out are the ones who want to sing. Let's get them to sing.
See, I think I am one of the rare folks who genuinely enjoys when the host sings for a couple reasons. By and large, you do not host karaoke if you do not have a good voice. And Chris, you obviously have a fantastic voice. You're one of my favorite people to hear sing.
Aw, thanks.
But second, I'm somebody who drinks heavily throughout the night, usually, because my genes and my background. And when the host sings, I'm like, oh, we're in another rotation. Mm-hmm. It's one of those guideposts for me. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, the host is singing all the time. Like, I am fine when it's the host singing in the rotation. One of my pet peeves is when the host sings multiple times throughout.
Me personally, I never care or mind. I think Ed's right with it being a signpost almost. Like, if I hear that and I got there early in the night and I was number three, you know, the rotation, who knows how, if they're not publishing the rotation, you don't know how long the rotation gets. And you hear the karaoke jock come in. If I'm sitting, you know, away, I'm like, oh, I can get ready to sing. I should be coming up soon. And it almost tunes me back into what's happening rather than the music in the background. One of the other questions I want to ask is, do you ever just say no? Somebody comes to you. Let's say the party's jumping. You got Ed up there doing Shaggy and his thing. You got somebody else bringing the heat with a killer version of NSYNC or something like that. Sweet Caroline just had the entire bar going. And the next person in the rotation wants to sing Desperado by the Eagles. Do you say no? Are you ever in a situation? Have you ever had a situation where you just had to say no, pick something different?
Yeah, it has happened. You don't want to do it. You don't want to tell someone that their song is a terrible choice, and you don't tell someone that their song is a terrible choice right now. A lot of times what I will do is I will again appeal to people's base instincts. They're third graders, you know, and just be like, hey, everybody's really excited right now. Is there an exciting song you could do? Let's put in your Desperado. Let's put that in. Let's make sure that you get to sing it. But could you do me a favor? And could you not sing it next? And it's all about that, just kind of if the party is really up and going. Other times it's a karaoke night and I am definitely of the mindset that yeah, you're going to get absolute party bangers right next to the Titanic, you know. And that's karaoke. That is the nature of the beast. That is what we are here for, and that is the randomness and beauty of a karaoke night. And I generally like to curate that weirdness of the night.
Chris, if you heard the first episode, then you know when we bring a guest on the show, then we like to put him through the ringer with a game we like to call Hit Me With Your Best Shot. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you 10 questions. Please answer them just rapid fire as quickly as you can. And something new to the show this week is we're going to give you a chance to fire away. After we wrap up the 10 questions, you can ask us one question that Ed and I solemnly swear to be 100% honest about. We would prefer it be karaoke related, but if it's not, it's your prerogative.
Fair enough.
Okay, are you ready to go?
All right, I think I'm ready. Like, let's do it.
If you're ready, we're ready. So question number one, what is the best thing you have ever seen at karaoke?
The best thing I have ever seen at karaoke would have been a professional performance by Mickey Aiko.
Wow, okay, that's awesome. What's the worst thing you've seen at karaoke?
How to put this nicely. I have an answer. I'm just thinking about wording it. It was a bad performance, but it was a bad performance of Picture with two people who were not aware that there were other people around while they were singing Picture. And they were in different states of intertwinement whilst attempting to sing very badly, and they were not the most attractive.
I'm picturing it, and I'm sad that I am picturing it.
I am too. Nope.
I'm so sorry, everyone. Like, I was trying not to, like, I didn't want to paint a picture.
I think you did a very elegant job, all things considered.
Okay.
All right. What is the one song you would love to do at karaoke that you have never been able to find?
Oh, wow. I recently recently, because I mean, generally I can find every song, karaoke host and all. But recently it is Bare Naked Ladies. What a Good Boy is really hard to get an actual nice version of. So that.
Okay. You're in a brand new place while traveling, and you have only the chance to sing one song. What do you pick to make your mark?
Wow. I think I would say The Killers, All These Things I've Done.
Great. if you could magically strike one song from every karaoke playlist forever, which song would you choose and why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're gonna harken it back to Picture. That's simply because it's so overdone. Everyone tries to do it with somebody. They try to do it to impress people. It never goes in a way. Picture is just a song of love and heartbreak. And it ruins nights. It ruins nights for people who have to experience it third person. It ruins it for the people who are singing. Because no one ever thinks that you think you know Picture until the song comes on. I've heard it 7,000 times. And I will tell you right now that if I had to sing Picture when it's actually playing, I don't know how that song goes. So can we just be done with it? Can we just be done with it? There are better other duets out there.
You were going to get no argument from Ed or I on that topic, Chris. Trust me, 100%. So would you prefer private room karaoke or karaoke in a bar?
Wow. I like it in a bar. I think it's a public thing. I think people need to be involved. I think it's a fun thing. Should be in a bar. Groups.
Okay, fantastic. What song instantly kills the party?
Without being redundant, I would say Picture, but I think another song that tends to kill the party is Aerosmith. Help me out.
Don't want to miss the thing.
Yeah, that always kills a party.
What's the
maybe because I'm biased? You guys know.
No, it kills the party. We're tracking with you. What's the ideal length for a karaoke song?
Just over 3 minutes. You can go to about 4 minutes, but past that, it gets way too far. It's way too long. Yeah.
Okay. What's the biggest crowd pleaser that you can think of?
So I've been to a lot of different regions, and I think it does move around a lot. Sweet Caroline seems to do a good job. Brown Eyed Girl does really good. And then also The Killers, Mr. Brightside. Those are my three. If there is a crowd that needs to be picked up, those are the three that generally people are going to always respond to.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't have thought of Mr. Brightside or Brown Eyed Girl, in all honesty. So that's it's interesting. Which do you prefer? A big crowd with a long rotation or a smaller crowd with a short rotation?
You know, every night, for me, every night's a little different. I really do like small rotations. If it's an intimate setting, then it's cool. Everybody gets to sing a lot. Personally, I really like a decent sized crowd. I like a lot of people. I love rotations that hit around, oh man, a really nice rotation is like 20 some people or more. You get a little crazy when you hit like a 30 person rotation. I think my biggest was 36 ever. Which is, you're looking at almost an hour and a half rotation. But, you know, when you get those rotations that are a solid 45 minutes to an hour long, and you have like 20 people and everyone's playing off of each other, that's when those are the nights that you remember. Big crowd, big rotation.
Hell yeah. Chris, you got through the 10 questions. We hit you with our best shot. So go ahead and fire away. What do you have for us?
Gosh, guys, I've been around you so long. You guys have sang karaoke thousands and thousands of times yourselves. You have collabed a billion times with one another. Is there a song, and this, I guess this is kind of a both question, is there a song, Adam, that you really, really want to hear Ed sing? And is there a song, Ed, that you would really, really want to hear Adam sing?
I have to think about it a little bit. What I can say about Ed is I'm trying to probably place a specific song. I love how Ed's voice has developed since we started singing. Because it's developed a lot since we started. And he's really settled into a beautiful range for a lot of the songs like Bing Crosby and stuff like that from that 50s and 60s. And really learned to utilize his range and like his knowledge of that era. So I'd love to hear him sing a song that I like to sing every now and then that I would love to hear Ed sing is Smile. Bing Crosby's version of Smile. I think he would do really well with that, and I would love to hear him sing that at some point.
Nice.
I wish I went to more nights where Bing Crosby was not a off-the-wall choice, because Bing Crosby is actually my happy vocal range. So when it comes to singing in my car, which is really sad to say for somebody who is my age, but again, I'm older, but I'm not that old. But Bing Crosby is my my natural vocal range. So I will absolutely do that for you, Adam, at some point. What I would like to hear from Adam, and again, Adam is known for two things, rapping and Johnny Cash. So there is a Johnny Cash song I've never heard Adam do. So that would be on the list. That would be One Piece at a Time. I've never heard you. You may have done it. I've just never heard you do it. And the other thing I would love to hear you do is do a song Jim introduced me to, DJ Jim and Jim, somebody that we have all sang karaoke for, who would drag me into doing the rap part of the song that I had never heard before. But he's like, you can do the rap part, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. Somebody named Colt Ford, does that ring a bell?
Colt Ford, yeah.
Yeah, like I've never listened to it like on purpose because white boy country rap is not my thing. But I wouldn't mind hearing Adam, who is very well versed in country music, doing a white boy country rap song.
Like, okay, I will definitely try that for you too, Ed. And Chris, you just opened a bag of worms here, because we're not going to talk about how much I do not like country boy rap. Like, for example, what is it? Country boy rap, and also who's the biggest one that drives me? Sam Hunt. I do not like Sam Hunt. I do not like his, I'm just a small boy growing up in the thing, and I'm going out into the range right now. And if you leave me, girl. Like, where he'll tell a story and then all of a sudden starts singing.
I don't know what that is, but I don't like it already.
Yeah, no, it's it's something else. Okay, but that was a great question. You definitely got us real good after we hit you with our best shot. No, it's great, Chris. We really appreciate it. That's all we had for you. Is there anything in particular you would like to plug? Any social media people can follow? Any information you want to put out to the world? The floor is yours. Please, please, please take it away.
Wow, good grief. You know, what am I doing these days? What do I do in life? As Adam said in his amazing intro, I am the owner of Crisp Entertainment. We do live sound for bands and concerts and events. With that, I do lighting and stuff like that as well. That's been filling a lot of my time lately. Of course, I DJ karaoke. We do a really fun game called Wicked Bingo, where it's a mashup of music trivia and bingo, really fast and fun. We're playing that. We're getting ready to start playing that down here in Key West. It was super popular in Pennsylvania right before pandemic times. Hopefully we'll make it back. We're going digital with that, so you don't have to worry about touching pens. That was the biggest thing. You can't have bingo cards in people's pens. But otherwise, you can check me out on Crisp Entertainment on Facebook. You can follow our business page there. I'm starting a Twitch because, you know, we can't be out singing right now. So what I'm doing is just playing music on Twitch, doing D&D, becoming a professional game master, like professional DM. That's a thing. And that's what I'm doing nowadays. Just a lot of voiceover work, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's great, Chris. Just so everybody knows, it's Crisp, C-R-I-S-P.
Yeah.
So go look it up on Facebook, give it a follow, subscribe to the Twitch channel, do all of those things, become a professional DM. Everybody join the party. Let's go.
Why not?
And professional DM these players, so go out and play. Chris, it's been so good seeing you and talking to you and all the things right now. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. Like, I haven't seen you guys in so long. And obviously, karaoke has been a distant memory from the last year. My actual last official gig was a karaoke cast party for a high school musical. And that was the night before the shutdown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all miss it. And that's
I miss it so much. Thank
that's
you.
That's the reason we're here. And it's the reason we love talking to you in particular, people like you, just to share a love of karaoke and somebody we know loves karaoke as much as we do. So thanks again.
Wow. Thank you guys so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. This week on the karaoke segment, we are featuring our wonderful guest, Chris Price. Here he is from an actual karaoke night singing Grace Kelly by Mika. Like to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. And hey, if you liked what you heard, make sure to follow us on Twitter at sungpoorly. Send us an email at sungpoorly@gmail.com and subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or the podcast feed of your choice.
We'd also like to thank friend of the show, Ben Dumb, for the theme song Gasoline from Ben Dumb and the Deviants, available wherever you can buy or stream music during a pandemic.
Now make sure you tune in 2 weeks from now to hear us talk about the fear of karaoke and the perspective of the person who is at the bar and not singing. That's it. That's all. There is no more. So until next time, I'm Adam Wainwright.
I'm Ed Kennard.
And remember that singing off key is still technically singing. Gasoline.